At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason. Let's talk a little Final Four. Villanova, Kansas will get things started on Saturday. The nightcap will be North Carolina and Duke. What a tournament it has been. The voice of the Blue Devils, David Shumate, is on the line with us. David, I've been kicking myself over and over and over again. My bracket was in the trash the first night. I had Kentucky winning it all. Stupid. And I should have known Duke was going to make the run in
Homer.
Coach K's final season, that he was going to make the magical run to the end. I'm still kicking myself. But in all seriousness, Duke has played pretty. I was really impressed in that game against Arkansas. Every time Arkansas tried to make a run, that timeout was huge. I guess when Arkansas cut it to five, and then after that timeout, Duke just controlled the game the rest of the way. You've had a great seat to this point. What have you seen?
Well, it's funny. I would assume part of the reason you didn't have Duke in your bracket was because of what happened at the end of the regular season and then what happened in the ACC championship game against Virginia Tech in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And in some respects, that's probably what led to this success in the NCAA tournament. It refocused them. It seemed like they'd been a lot looser group the last couple of weeks and had a little bit of practice time before they went down to the first two games in Greenville, where they played the first and second round and really got back to their defensive principles and communicating better on the defensive end. And that leads to this team, to better offense consistently. And they certainly needed it last weekend against Texas Tech and Arkansas. Two very different teams, but two really good defensive teams. There's just been a different level of intensity in terms of the preparation, in terms of one of Coach K's biggest things when he's in practice working with the guys or in games is telling them to talk while they're playing because it raises their intensity. And particularly with Banchero, when I'm at practice, there's been a noticeable change in him the last few weeks. He's been more vocal, and I think you can kind of draw a direct line to that and the overall lifting of the play of this team. And obviously Jeremy Roach, the point guard, who has been awfully good here in the postseason, has been another key. But no, it's come together very quickly because it wasn't in a very good place when they left Brooklyn.
How in the world, with the program's success, plural, North Carolina and Duke, have they never met in the NCAA tournament? Like, I heard that the first time, and I'm like, there's no way that's true. Well, it's true.
No, it's crazy. I mean, and normally, like, when you look at the brackets, as you said, it's hard to predict, but they always end up on other sides, and you think it might be in the Final Four, it might be in the championship game. It's just never materialized. I believe the closest it's been was actually when Duke won it for the first time in 91. Duke beat UNLV in Kansas with Roy Williams, ended up beating North Carolina, and then obviously the Blue Devils won in the title game. But, no, it's wild. It's just one of those things, as many times as they played, that it's never come together in the NCAA tournament. And obviously that's going to add juice to the rivalry. But in some respects, while the rivalry is a huge part of the storyline, maybe more so it's about winning a championship. And you don't want to get so caught up in that. Mike Krzyzewski just talked with the media and said, if you get too caught up in that and, you know, payback or what have you, decent chance you're going to lose on Saturday, and you're definitely going to lose on Monday if you can win on Saturday, because Kansas and Villanova are obviously really good as well. So there's layers to it. The rivalry's certainly part of it, but you got to be focused on having a chance to go play for a national championship, and that's what's got to be most important.
We're talking with David Shumate, voice of the Duke Blue Devils men basketball team. Now, David, regardless on how this ends for the Duke Blue Devils and Coach Krzyzewski, he has six national championships under his belt. Is this a win-win for him no matter what?
Well, I don't think anything's going to change what he's accomplished, and you just touched on it, you know, the five national titles, the 13 Final Fours, breaking a tie with Wooden over the weekend, all the wins he's piled up in the tournament alone, now 101 and more than 1,200 overall. His legacy is baked in. But as he's talked about the last few weeks in particular, the legacy of this team is not fully baked yet. And this is about their journey, not to get cliche, but, you know, collectively it's the first time for a lot of these guys to not only be in a Final Four, but to play in the NCAA tournament with the season the way it ended in 2020 with the pandemic and then Duke not qualifying last year. Guys like Wendell Moore Jr., who's a captain on this team, a junior, had never played in the NCAA tournament before. Obviously, the one-and-dones have not. So, in some respects, the 75-year-old head coach has like a youthful enthusiasm to him the last few weeks because he's experiencing through these guys some firsts. And in a career that's gone on for quite some time, you don't get to see that very often, and I think it's rejuvenated him the last couple of weeks. But in terms of his legacy, no, I don't know what you guys think. To me, that's kind of fully baked, and this would just be icing on the cake.
Now, where do you think this program goes once Coach K, once the season's over with and Coach K rides off into the sunset? We saw it with Carolina. They went from Dean Smith, then Roy Williams, and now Hubert Davis. But there was, after Dean, there was a lull in the program. It seems like they've gotten themselves back on right footing. But do you expect possibly that happening to Duke?
I don't think so, and part of it is because I get to see it up close. And it's interesting because a lot of this year has been built around, the national storylines have been built around coaches last season, and people called a retirement tour, people called it a bunch of different stuff. But he has really stuck to that this was about continuity, particularly for recruiting and getting in. Whoever is going to be the next head coach turned out to be someone on his staff, an associate head coach, John Shire. And I think, you know, for those that follow recruiting, Duke is doing very well, not just in the upcoming class, but the class beyond that. And I think that's because of the plan that they've implemented, that there is going to be continuity one to the next. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time around John Shire, done a podcast with him, get to see him work. Obviously, he's an elite recruiter and identifies with this generation really well. But he thinks about the game differently. He is a basketball savant. He reminds me of someone else I've worked with these last 5 years, talking about Coach K. It sees the game in ways that a lot of other people don't, and has an ability to teach the game to players that I think is unique. So I don't foresee any drop-off, and I think that's not just because of who John Shire is and what he's done and accomplished as a player and a coach, but also because of the plan that's been laid out for Mike Krzyzewski, that you're not necessarily starting from scratch at the end of the season. This has been building, and they've been putting the pieces in place over the course of the last year.
Talking to David Shumate, he is the radio play-by-play voice for the Duke Blue Devils in the Final Four, taking on North Carolina. David, one more on Shire, because I'm really curious about that whole thing. That is, as you said, it's been so well planned out. They've got this vision. They want to keep it moving. You know, they want that continuity that you're shooting for when a legend steps down, but it's so hard to do when you look at some of the different programs there. Tell me what you think we're going to see. You know Shire better. We haven't seen him in the public eye at the podium talking about his team or talking about a game. Do you think he's got that part of it, that, you know, the charisma? What type of things can you tell us about his personality?
He definitely has the charisma. He's very engaging, and I think his recruiting success speaks to that. And he's very comfortable with the media. He is very different from Coach, and that's okay. I think he has more of a, I kind of liken it to an NBA head coach's vibe to him. He may not get after the referees quite like Coach K does from time to time. You might not see so much outward fire on the sidelines, but that doesn't mean he's not a fiery competitor. He just does it a little bit differently. His mannerisms are a little bit more calm in game. They're just different people. But, no, he definitely has that charisma, and interpersonally, particularly one-on-one communication, he has that same ability that Coach K has to read people. I mean, I call it emotional intelligence. Mike Krzyzewski is maybe the most emotionally intelligent person I've ever been around, of knowing, you know, maybe when anybody on his staff or his players, whether you need maybe a little bit of a push, maybe you need a little bit of a wake-up call, or maybe you need to just get picked up and a little bit of a lift. And I think John Shire has some of those traits as well of how to read people, how to work with people, and how to communicate. Like I said, stylistically, yeah, he's going to be a little bit different from Coach. But I think in the end, they approach it the same way. It's about people, and then obviously the basketball side of it they know really well.
So the two teams obviously have played twice. They're very familiar with one another. What is the most intriguing matchup to you, David, when they take the court? What's the key for Duke to succeed?
Well, I mean, I think the matchup inside is what draws everybody's eyes. And because, you know, from the Duke perspective, you've got Paulo Banchero, depending on which projection you want to look at. He's either the 1, 2, or 3 pick coming up in the draft this spring at 6'10", 250. He presents so many problems, particularly when he plays at the 4, because you've got Mark Williams as a rim protector, 7-footer inside, who's been playing really good here in the postseason, already has 110 blocks on the year, a 7'7 wingspan. And on the other side, you've got a double-double machine in Armando Bacot, who can really pile up fouls on others, has gotten into foul trouble at times himself. So I think that matchup inside is going to be interesting to see who can control things, because over the years, the rebounding battle has been pretty indicative of who wins this game between these two. Particularly from a Duke perspective, you want to try to keep North Carolina off of the offensive glass, not just because Bacot can create his own opportunities, but then, of course, you get the shooters' good looks, whether that be a Brady Manick, whether that be a Caleb Love, and you don't want North Carolina to get going from three.
So we can expect, because we saw the energy when they played last game of the season, Carolina and Duke. So we can assume and expect the energy to be times that when they play this upcoming weekend.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, one, Cameron's unique, but 9,314 is what you can fit in there. I think it's 70,000 plus that are going to be at the Superdome on Saturday night. So that's going to be crazy in and amongst itself. The fans are certainly going to be fired up and into it. I will say, though, I think it's going to be a little bit different, because there was also a heaviness to that game because of what Coach K has built here at Duke, and knowing that it's his final game at Cameron and so many former players there, there was I don't want to say sadness, but there was a lot of emotion tied to it as well that was kind of adjacent to the game. And I think in this game, all of the energy and all the emotion is going to be tied to winning the game, if that makes sense. And I think that's going to take the play up to another level, at least from a Duke perspective.
Last 30 seconds, can you explain to me, because I laughed, but I didn't know the context. I don't know what happened. Tracy Wolfson asked, was it Paolo after the game, who he wanted to see, and he's like, you're not going to get me with that question. I laughed out loud. I thought it was a funny response from a kid in college. Can you help me? What was the story behind that? Do you know?
Yeah, he was referencing an interview with Holly Rowe that happened after Duke had beaten Miami in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, and Virginia Tech and North Carolina were playing next, and Holly Rowe had asked him who he wanted, and he said UNC.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense.
And then Virginia Tech beat Duke in the ACC championship game. So that's what he was referencing, saying you're not going to get me this time.
Ah, that makes a ton of sense. Hey, really appreciate the visit. Enjoy your time down in New Orleans. It's going to be outstanding. We can't wait to watch here from Nashville. Thanks for doing this, David. We'll talk to you down the road.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
David Shumate, he is the voice of the Blue Devils. And, of course, they will be the second game in the Final Four against North Carolina, two teams that have never met in the NCAA tournament. Hard to believe. More DDC on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Don't forget, if you're looking for another chance to win a bracket challenge, me, got a four-team game bracket challenge for the Final Four on The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge now for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shine down at Bridgestone Arena, where we are on May 4th. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager. Congratulations to Chris Miller. Chris was listening and was lucky caller 5, and now Chris will go take in Collective Soul and Switchfoot at Opry House on Sunday, September 11th. Good stuff from David Shumate. And the Final Four, it's been a great tournament. It really has. I didn't think Sunday was great, but overall the tournament has been really good. And now you have Villanova and Kansas, North Carolina and Duke on Saturday. It'll all start at just after 5 o'clock on TBS. They're playing in New Orleans. It's 5:10, I guess, our time. And then about 7:50 in the nightcap for North Carolina and Duke. So good opportunity to watch some really, really good basketball. I feel strong about both games. I really do. Maybe I shouldn't say this because I know we've got pick six on Friday, but I do. I feel very strong about both games. I'm here to declare that the national championship game on Monday night will be Duke versus Kansas.
Oh.
A replay of 1991.
Duke versus Kansas. 91?
1991. Duke over Kansas. One of the key players in that game for Duke, Billy McCaffrey, who then transferred to Vanderbilt and became the SEC Player of the Year, two-time All-American at Vanderbilt. After I think he had 14 or 16 points in that game, and then was like, I'm out of here.
Hmm.
And we were like, ooh. And then next thing you know, he was a Commodore.
He's like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Vanderbilt.
He didn't say it that day. I mean, there was a recruiting trip and everything. We were all there, but we were like, man. Everybody had the same question, like, you just won the national championship. Why do you want to come here? We're glad to have you, though.
Well, come on down. But
we are
really?
Glad to have you, my
really?
Man. Yeah. Oh, man. And he's become one of my good friends. What a great player.
Duke versus Kansas. Here to tell you. There you go. That's some free tips right there.
Free tips.
Free
huh?
stuff.
I think that's – so tell me why you think Duke is going to atone for what happened.
Well, one, they've got the – built in, right? Everybody yeah. remembers that game. And look, that did factor into me picking against them. I would have never thought they were going to lose that game to North Carolina at the end of the regular season. I would have never thought they were going to lose to Virginia Tech in the ACC championship. And I was like, well, maybe this is not going to happen. And then Texas Tech looked like a really strong matchup, and it was a really good game, obviously, but I was like, I should have known better. Why did I pick Duke? Of course they're going to make this magical run for Krzyzewski. What was I thinking? But it's going to be Duke and Kansas. I think they're going to atone for that loss. I think they will bounce back. They got embarrassed in that game. I mean, they really did. And look, North Carolina is flying high. I get it. But Duke, one, they've been shooting out of their mind at times in this tournament, right? Mm-hmm. But we'll see if that – we always talk about this. You do have the element of the big arena, right? Now they get to the big football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so the depth perception, right? It's like who's going to handle – this is not what you typically are playing. You're playing in these arenas, and now you've got this vast area behind the goals, right? And so they'll have to adjust to that. But in the end, I think Duke will. I think Duke will get it done, and I think Kansas-Villanova is a really intriguing matchup, but, man, I hate that kid got hurt.
Yeah.
Justin Moore. I hate it because that's going to affect Villanova. I hate that he got hurt at the end of the game and he's out. And I just think Kansas, who, you know, a lot of people don't root for Bill Self these days.
Yeah.
As much as I would like to pick Villanova, I don't believe they're going to win. I think Kansas and Duke will be the national championship game on Monday night. Anybody feel differently?
It's hard to root against Duke because they've been playing so well.
I find it easier Carolina, to root against Duke. Root against Duke.
Yeah, root against.
But pick against Duke, I don't know.
It's hard to pick against them right now. Because they're playing so well now. I mean, I know many people will pick against them just because they're Duke.
Right.
That's it. But the way they have been playing, it's hard to pick against them. But Carolina has been playing really good as well. And I think it's gonna come down to, you know, the two big men, you know, of, you know, Carolina and Duke. How much do they try to pound it in the inside? To their big guys, and if that is impeded in any way, then how well do they shoot from the outside? Because that's one reason I never trusted Kentucky, because if Shibwe wasn't doing it in the inside, those guys didn't prove that they can hit the shot night in and night out on the outside. I think Duke do have shooters as well as Carolina, but if it becomes this matchup of, you know, we're going to get into our bigs and this is how we're going to roll, I'm picking UNC. I am.
You're going to ride the wave.
I'm riding the light blue wave.
I still flash back to that moment against Baylor where everything was unraveling. They blew the 25-point lead. It went to overtime, and I'm thinking, there's no way North Carolina is going to survive this game. They're done. And they won. They won in overtime. And since then, it's like they've become even more galvanized. And remember too, I remember Elijah talking about this a lot in our bubble updates. They had like one quality win, and it wasn't even that sexy of a win up until they beat Duke at Cameron Indoor on the last day. Their schedule was kind of blah. There was all kinds of people saying, hey, if that weren't North Carolina, we wouldn't even been talking about this team.
But people were saying that about Duke. If it wasn't Duke, then they wouldn't have been the seed that they were in.
Yeah, I thought people did think Duke was overseeded.
Exactly.
But you know, they do have some star players, and they had some, you know. But still, it's one of the more unique seasons in North Carolina history, especially with Hubert Davis being the coach. And you've got that whole dynamic going on.
It's
now,
always,
you talk about getting off to a good start. He's got that foundation now. He's got credibility. That's going to help him going forward.
It's always dangerous when the Blue Bloods are an 8 seed. We've seen this before, right, when they're a low seed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Kentucky was the 8 seed. Is that the year they beat Wichita State when they were the 1 seed and weren't they undefeated?
Correct.
They were like 36-0, something like that. And Kentucky took them down. They were the 8 seed.
Hmm. And then went to the national championship game.
And went to the national championship game. I mean, typically, it's a pretty scary proposition when you see the Blue Blood teams as an 8 seed.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I don't think it's going to help them.
Oh, so you don't think the 8 seed is going to help the Tar Heels?
What's the line?
Four. Duke is 4.
Duke
is favored by 4.
I've been picking against Duke a lot, and I've been burnt.
Kansas, 4.5.
See, that's why I said it's the way they've been playing, it's hard to pick against them.
Yeah.
But I'm picking Carolina.
I was impressed how easily
they
dispatched.
And I'm
going to
put on my Carolina Blue Jordans on, too, that day.
Were you guys surprised how easily they dispatched Arkansas? I was. Of course, I picked Arkansas, so I, you know.
That
I,
second half, they do.
Yeah, it was just like.
Yeah.
Well, they got within 5, like yeah. I said, and Duke called a timeout, and then after that, they just could not get really, they couldn't get anything going.
Duke
just
zoned them, too, and just made them shoot.
I felt like Duke had their arms. It was like the Little Rascals bit, right? And they're
really,
just swinging.
Really from the
get-go. And they're just like holding their head, and Arkansas swinging, and they're not making contact.
Yeah, really from the get-go. I mean, that moment, you said, but even in the first half, Arkansas was like running uphill trying to keep up. Yep. I got to keep up. And they would make a run, get a little closer, and then just get knocked back down.
A lot of people are talking about the overtime rule in the NFL. Apparently, they were talking about it at the meetings. And they have decided to come out with a little bit of a rule change concerning NFL overtime. We'll discuss that on the other side. Good idea, bad idea, like it, don't like it. We'll tell you all about it next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Roman. Predators and Senators tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. P. Weber and Hal Gill will have your call on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 6 over on the television side, Bally Sports. Willie and the crew will get their coverage getting started at 6:30. Preds and Senators tonight. We'll get into that.
Senators.
In the final segment of the show. But right now, the NFL has come out of their meetings in Palm Beach, which, you know, hey, it's tough doing meetings in Palm Beach.
Oh, isn't it interesting that the NHL GM meetings are also
crazy
in Florida as well?
Oh, yeah. Down there.
Right down the street.
white sand and salt water.
Nice breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Ice cream.
A pina coladas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you like to drink.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, those. Those palm trees, yeah. Let's go. Yeah, we don't have those here.
Ooh.
No, but it's weird. They need those meetings down there, Palm Beach. So both teams are assured now of a possession in the playoffs.
In the playoffs,
I'm okay
in
with
overtime.
That
is
okay with that.
The rule change approved by the NFL owners. Derek, you've been following the play-by-play blows of this. Take us through the steps.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were two proposed rule changes. One of them was from the Tennessee Titans, which they proposed, in their proposal, it would allow for both teams with the first possession in overtime to win only with a touchdown and a successful two-point conversion. Now, the Colts and the Eagles.
Now, hold on. Hold on a second.
Yes.
So, do you understand what that means. Like, help me understand. Help me. Okay, this help is, you. What? So, okay, you score the touchdown. You get a 2-point conversion.
Yep.
The other team gets the ball.
No. Under the Titans' proposal, you can only win the game if you get the ball first. You can only win the game
if you score the 2-point conversion.
Score the 2-point conversion.
Okay, what if you miss it?
Not then the other team has an opportunity.
Okay, they go down and score, and then they miss the 2-point conversion.
No, then you keep going.
Well, could they
keep
going? Can they kick?
In this situation, I think they would. It doesn't say whether they would have to kick.
Why would the first? So the first team has to go for two. The second team could kick the extra point.
Well, it doesn't specify whether if you in turn get your possession after said team has missed the 2-point conversion. It doesn't say whether you have to then go for two or kick the extra point. It doesn't say in this particular article. I wonder.
It said the Titans withdrew their proposal.
Yes, because I think what possibly could have happened was, well, if the second team come down and score, it's not fair to them that they then have to kick. Well, they would have to go for a 2-point conversion. Because now if I score, it's a tie game. Why am I going for a 2-point conversion and I can win it with an extra point? That doesn't make any sense. Again, I'm more of a traditionalist. Like, listen, we go on overtime. It's sudden death. You had 60 minutes to win the ball game, just like I had 60 minutes to win the ball game. We put 15 minutes on the clock. Whoever scores, you play defense. I play defense. You know, if you stop me, fine. You get your opportunity. You score. If I don't stop you, then we keep going. I don't understand this. Well, it's almost like somebody got to win it. You know, since you didn't win, we're going to give you a participation trophy.
Well,
you had almost just as many opportunities as I did to win this game.
And you
did,
but you won the coin toss.
But you won the coin toss.
It doesn't matter. You still got to play defense.
So by winning,
you didn't have to play
coin toss. Coin toss should be thrown out, period, if that's the case. Let's do it like college football. Just put it on a 25 and let's go. Or put it on a 45 and let's go.
Darren, he's on the tropical island with Tim Hasselbeck here.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask this before we get into. Is it different in the playoffs in your mind than a regular season game?
No, to me it's not. No.
So you're okay with it old school?
I'm okay with it just being
regular season playoffs. Whatever.
Regular season, it doesn't matter because we're going down this road. Even in this situation, somebody's going to be upset again. There's going to be two or three games that come up in this scenario. Somebody's going to be upset. And
you're
then
right.
What they're going to say?
You're okay
well, we
with
need
ties?
To change them again.
You're okay with ties in the regular season?
I'm good with it. It is what it is. It's football. Things are going to happen.
Answer. That's a yes.
Yes, no, I'm okay with it. If we've played 60 minutes of football and then we added another 15 minutes, so that's what, 75 minutes of football, and nobody scored, I'm not going an extra 10 minutes and playing for a winner. No. Neither one of y'all could figure out a way to win. Let's go into the locker room. It's going to hurt you that nobody could win.
So you're okay with people calling up their bank to get a loan to buy tickets to come to an NFL game and leaving with a tie?
Yep. That's your – you went and got a loan for – I don't know why you were willing to get a loan for some tickets, but if you did –
because they're expensive.
That's your problem. And that's what the NFL said. That's your problem. You had to go get a loan, not mine.
Don't make your problems my problem.
Exactly.
Okay? Well, lower your prices then.
You got a point there too, they should. But I'm just – I mean, because it's going to keep on going back and forth. And then in another 10 years, there's going to be something wrong with this rule. And then they're going to change it again.
Now, I do think you're right about that. You got to stop it somewhere.
Exactly.
But I think each team in the playoffs should each get the ball.
All right, let's see what Dave thinks on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. So, the overtime – NFL has changed its rules to really favor the offense. Do you guys agree with that?
Well, it's the favorite. I mean, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Of course. Okay. Well, I don't say it's not overtime. It's just the league has favored offense.
It's not necessarily favoring the offense.
At all times.
It's protecting their players because they know.
Which helps the offense.
Right. Yeah, it's protecting players, which in turn helps offense.
So 15 years ago, or Derek, when you played, would you say that the rule would have been, like the coin flip rule, one possession, that would have been more fair than now? Because now you're saying that we have to stop. Oh, the defense has to make a stop. Defense has to make a stop. You got Buffalo and Kansas City, and the NFL wants to build teams around offense and flash. Well, that rule, the rule for first team that scores a touchdown, that already seems antiquated to me. So now we need to update the rule again based on how the league is, how the league is going and how teams are looking and what the NFL wants. So that's why I like that, this updated rule change.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Dave, and thank you for the call. I get what you're saying, and the way the NFL is going, they would rather see more points scored. They would rather have seen, you know, a 50 to 51 game in the playoffs, because what does it do? It brings more eyes to that game. But again, I always go back to, okay, we gave each team 60 minutes to win this thing. Nobody wanted to win. All right, both teams were great. Defenses were subpar. Never mind, I'm going to say this. Buffalo was supposed to have what? The number one defense in National Football League, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you take, number one defense in the National Football League.
That was number one in through 60 minutes.
Yeah, number one team in the National Football
League. After 60 minutes, they were not the number one defense.
Number one defense in the National Football League, right?
Through 60 minutes.
And they couldn't stop Kansas City? Remind you, who had 15 seconds? Anybody, can y'all tell me the answer? Ding, ding, ding. Mahomes had 15 seconds, didn't he? 15 seconds. You couldn't stop. You know what?
The kickoff, listen, by the way. The Bills still, the more the time goes by, the more they're going to realize they screwed up the kickoff. That's what
you couldn't stop Mahomes in 15 seconds. You don't deserve to win. You don't.
When the number one defense, right,
the number one defense in the National Football League, can't stop a quarterback. I know it's Mahomes. I get it. I know they have Tyreek and everybody else. But you're the number one defense. 15 seconds. You can't stop them? You don't deserve to win. Don't change the rules. I'm like Mike Tomlin. Don't change the rules, man. Keep them the same. Let's play ball. You stop me, I'll stop you. That's just the way it is. But I understand what Dave is saying because, yes, offenses are more high-powered now. And people want, when Mahomes score, Buffalo fans want their opportunity to score too. Mm-hmm. But Buffalo fans ain't saying that, oh, we got the number one defense and Kansas City's defense is horrible.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. If Buffalo wins the toss, mm-hmm, do they win that game?
I don't know. Possibly because Kansas City's defense is horrible.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
That's the point.
That's the point.
So then Kansas City's fans are mad, huh?
Yes.
Yes. That's right. And that's why in the playoffs, I like an adjustment to the rule. I think you can do that. The regular season, I'm with you, Derek. We gotta keep it moving. All right, this is
gotta get rid of ties. Gotta get rid of these ties.
All right, now y'all gonna see a game going to like 10 overtimes.
It's okay.
And then the next game after that is gonna be trash because all these guys tired.
Goes on in college, although they've changed it,
yeah,
and it's terrible. It's the two point thing is silly.
I would rather have that rule where they start off at the 45 than having to go the length of the football field.
Yeah, it's not good in college. They're gonna have to make a change. All right, we'll come back. A couple people want to weigh in. Scott, we'll start with you on the other side to close out Tuesday's edition of the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hit the road, Jack. Colts and Eagles propose the mandatory possession for both teams in all games. But they wanted it in the regular season and the playoffs. But the competition committee chairman, Rich McKay, said there was not enough support for the regular season, only for postseason. It ultimately passed with a vote of 29-3. Mm-hmm. So I guess if the score remains tied in the postseason after each team has had their possession, the game will be decided in the traditional sudden death.
But then again, you run into a problem. The teams are going to say, well, I didn't get my opportunity to score.
Well, they will. They'll say, you did. You had a possession.
They had a possession. You had a possession. We tied. And now whoever wins the coin flip
has a higher coin. I guess it just goes back to the other team. I don't think there's a coin flip again.
There has to be.
Or is that what you're saying by the traditional set?
Exactly. It goes back to the traditional way of playing overtime. Which, again, there are going to be people that say, well, we didn't get our next chance to score, and they did.
All right, let me propose one. Mm-hmm. Simple. Super simple. Try to please you, Derek. Mm-hmm. And also try to attain what I've been looking
please
for.
Please tell, too, as well, because Tim is on the island with me.
He's on the island with you. It's a tropical island. We've
yes, and Mike
that.
Tomlin. He's on that island.
Mike Tomlin's on the island.
Yep.
What if I... When you win the coin toss, mm-hmm. I want to put some decision making in your mind. I don't want it to be an automatic. We want the ball, mm-hmm. So I say, first score wins, any kind of score. But the team that wins the coin toss, if you want the ball, you start on your own 8-yard line. You have to start on the 8.
Why the 8, Willie?
Why? I'm just coming up with it. You've got to start way deep in your own territory.
Why not just the 20?
Because there's a big difference between starting at the deep in your own. That's why you punt. You try to get the ball inside the 10.
I see what you're saying.
The percentage of a team scoring when they start inside the 10 is a lot different than when you start at the 25 or the 30 or the 35.
I say start at the half-yard line. See if you can punch your way out.
Well, okay.
Or end on a safety.
We can argue over the yard line, but I'm trying to set the yard line to where you have a decision. Right now, I could send anybody out. I could send Maddox out. I could send DJ. I could pick a person out of a crowd and say, "Go, you be our captain. You do the coin toss for us. If we win, we want the ball."
Uh-huh.
I can send anybody out there. But I want the coach and the captain to have to say, all right, do we want this ball? Who are we playing on defense? Is it windy? We got to start our own X-yard line.
Indoors or outdoors?
We indoors. We're outdoors. Do we have a roof? Is it a retractable roof? How much did we pay for the roof?
Oh, is this a Monday Night Football game in Buffalo?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, what
we'll play defense.
Okay,
first.
Let me throw it to you this way. Uh-huh. What yard line would you have to start on for you to say, I want to kick? I want my defense on the field because I'm going to stop them. They start inside the 10. I'm getting the ball back.
Deep.
So what yard line? What's fair?
Inside the 10, I would say.
Okay, that's why I said the 8. You guys looked at me, it was crazy. You guys kind of agreed.
Because you just picked
it's
the 8.
Somewhere in there. I know.
It's like the tip time, 509. Yeah.
You could let
Villanova,
the stats.
Kansas, 509.
You could let the stat people, the analytics people, tell you about the percentages of a team scoring when they start at the whatever yard.
Well, no, this is how you make the, I guess this is how you would make the coin toss sort of irrelevant in a sense, is that, listen, if you win the coin toss, if you take it, the other team gets an automatic possession. But if you defer it, that means you're kicking off the other team. Then no. If you take the ball, then the other team
gets the ball guaranteed.
Gets the ball guaranteed.
If
you defer it, then if they can't win. Until they can't win, they got to score, and they got to go for a two-point conversion. I'm adding in what the Tennessee Titans said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if they don't get the two-point conversion, you go down, you score, you get Garrett's point, you win.
I'm confused. My head's going to explode.
Scott. Know,
it's so many out there.
You want to weigh in? You got your own formula?
I thought mine was very simple. Here's what I'm thinking. I don't like the coin toss at all because you're leaving it up to pure luck. What I'd like to see is whoever has the most offensive yardage, they get to choose they want to go offense or defense. And there is one possession. If you score a touchdown, you win. If you don't score a touchdown, you lose. The defense wins in that scenario. It's very easy. If we want to make a priority on having good quality both sides of the ball teams, some of these teams might want to go on defense. But the only way you win in that scenario, you start with the ball on the 50. You either score a touchdown and win, or you don't and you lose. The defensive team wins in that scenario.
Okay.
I like his thinking in trying to simplify it. Uh-huh. I do think the more complicated it gets, the crazier
That's why I say you should have left it like it
was.
That's
why I'm coming to I try to boil it back down to
the
Titans
point proposed toss. Something like that. They said if you have the most sacks, you get the ball.
Which in the case of the Cincinnati game, had it went in overtime, they would have got the ball.
No matter what you do, you win. So that was their proposal. Team with the most sacks, you get the first possession, and whatever you do, you win.
And if you have a safety in the game, you automatically win. Because safeties are very rare. But see, I come back, I boil it down to this. The biggest problem people have is the coin toss. Mm-hmm. Make the coin toss a decision. If you can do that.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Then you say, okay, you win the coin toss, you want the ball? All right, you get it on the 8-yard line or the 7-yard line or the 5. Whatever makes it, everybody agrees, all right, that's fair.
What if they play,
and let's just play
Family Feud? And they do that. To decide.
That's complicated.
Play or pass.
That's very complicated.
Listen, it's all
It may bog it down just a few minutes.
But that's a decision.
But you're still a team game. Family Feud is still, it's a family.
Yes.
It's a team
game. Look, you're trying to be funny, but when you try to win on that show, I've always been wondering, right? What percentage of the time does the team play
exactly or pass? Exactly.
Everybody always wants to play because they want to play the game.
I would love to know that.
But isn't it true that your chances might be just as good or better?
We're on the same wavelength.
By passing.
Let's get some analytics.
But that's what
I'm saying. Dig into
this. We got to make the coin toss a tough decision.
You know, hey,
right now, it's a no-brainer.
Derek, they never pass. It's true. Think about it. Family Feud, they never pass. They're like, hey, you play or pass. They never go, pass.
No,
always like, play!
I remember it happened one time.
I've never seen it.
Richard Dawson back on the show, he was like,
oh, Richard Dawson.
Oh, my goodness, you went way back.
40 years ago on Family Feud. Pass.
I just remember he did a double take. He was like, did you say pass? They were like, yeah, we want to pass. They were like, all right, let's go
over
here.
Did they win? The people that passed,
did
they
win? I think it was a smart move.
You know what would be the smartest move? Keeping it the way it was. That would be the smartest move. You got 60 minutes.
Smart move.
What's that?
Get two teams out on the 50. Instead of a coin where it's 50-50, you bring a die. Now your chances are 1 in 6. And then if you get it the first try, you get it the first try. I mean, then you could probably pick the ball wherever you want it.
Hey, Elijah.
But then both teams have a chance.
No, Elijah. Let's do it like the XFL. Put the ball in the middle, and whoever gets to it first.
I like it.
They get the ball in overtime. You score, so be it.
Here's something short and quick. A deck of cards. High card wins. Everybody's got same,
that's still
same
coin.
Chances.
That's still coin flip.
No, you can shuffle it. You have the automatic shuffler. High card wins.
Darren, it's still coin flip. We should do it like the XFL do it. Put the ball in the middle of the field. Put the two guys on a 40 or whatnot. And both of them run, try to get the ball.
Whoever wants it more wins.
Exactly. Whoever wants it more, they win.
Okay. I think we've got some really good ideas.
There you go.
They should have talked to us. Insane. All right, that's going to do it for our show today. Family Feud.
Yeah, Willie. That's
a good one. Nobody ever says pass. Nobody ever says pass.
It might be the better play.
You went back all. We went all the way back to Dawson. Gosh. Man.
Mr. Inappropriate.
That's what they were.
That's when they were wearing bell bottoms.
Hey, he would have never been a host today.
Oh, heck no.
No, no, no.
Lawsuit after lawsuit.
Woo!
Man.
Another family.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.